الحمد لله نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم، أما بعد، رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا، اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وزدنا علما. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته. We praise and we glorify Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We send peace and blessings and salutations upon our beloved Prophet, Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We thank Allah for the countless favors and bounties which He has bestowed upon us. The favor of Iman, the favor of Islam, the favor of life itself. And if we ponder and contemplate this life that we are currently living, our existence in this world, together with what we've come to know and learn from the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from the words of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we have to come to one conclusion. And that conclusion is that what else is there to do but to? And I give you a moment to perhaps complete that statement for yourself, and then we complete it together, and that is, but to prepare for death. To prepare for death. Now this may sound very somber, very depressing, but actually on the contrary, it depends on the vantage point from which you're looking at it. It should actually be a very pleasant and exciting thought. Take for example, if you are going on a journey to a very beautiful, exciting destination. The preparation for that journey, is it going to be depressing or exciting? The wait for that journey, is it going to be an exciting wait or a depressing wait? Obviously, because the destination is so exciting and so beautiful, it's going to be something pleasurable. In the same way, where are we actually going to after death? And that is to meet Allah, to Jannah inshallah. So it should be an exciting thought, an exciting endeavor inshallah, not a depressing one. So that is why we wake up every morning. We are waking up and we are living out our days to come to the end. And it could be said simply that we are living to die. And this we get from the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Surah Al-An'am, verse number 60. Says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَهُوَ الَّذِي He, Allah, is the one who يَتَوَفَّاكُمْ بِاللَّيْلِ He takes your soul at night. This refers to our sleep every night. It's a manner of, or a type of death. Some people like to refer to it as the small death. So Allah takes our soul at night when we go and sleep. وَيَعْلَمُ And He knows, مَا جَرَحْتُ Whatever it is that you do, what you get up to, your deeds and actions during the daylight hours, during your wakeful hours. ثُمَّ Then, يَبْعَثُكُمْ فِيهِ And then He resurrects you, He raises you, He wakes you up, فِيهِ Back into the next day. And this happens every day, every morning after we have slept and Allah has taken our soul, Allah puts our soul back into our bodies, we wake up and then we go into the next day, day in and day out. And then the next word Allah says, li yuqadha, li. That li over there, that lam, has the meaning of so that, or in order to. It's called in Arabic lamu ta'aleel, the lamb that gives reason. So Allah is giving the reason why we go through these days. And the answer is, and the reason is, لِيُقَضَى So that be completed, or so that be fulfilled, أَجَلٌ مُسَمَّى A specific term, an appointed term. Subhanallah, while we were in the wombs of our mothers, when our soul was blown into the fetus, At that day, 120 days after pregnancy of our mothers, the angels came and they wrote down every single detail regarding you and I. And one detail was exactly how many days we have to live on this dunya. Not a single one of us knows how many days we've been given. We do not know how many days we have left. But what we certainly do know is that every day that passes is a day closer to this appointed term. And that day will finally come. But we have to live out those days, and that is why we go sleep and we wake up every day. Thumma, then what happens? Thumma ilayhi marji'ukum. Then to him is our return. So this is our journey. We are going to return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when we return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, thumma, what's going to happen on that return? Thumma yunabbi'ukum. Then he is going to inform us. Bima kuntum ta'amaloon, with that which you were doing in this worldly life. Hold this thought of having to report to Allah, or Allah informing us about our actions in this world, and that has a bearing on the next topic of discussion, which is fear. We all have this emotion called fear, some to a greater degree or a lesser degree, and we fear things about the future, what is going to happen in the future. So basically there are three things. We can categorize our fear into three things. We can fear things that could possibly happen. For example, mishaps and accidents that could possibly befall us in the future. We could fear things that will probably happen. And that is, if Allah decides to give us long life on this dunya, then we fear that we will become frail and will develop many ailments. That is probable, although many a person, many an elderly person, because they've looked after themselves, ate healthy, exercised, in their old age they are still strong and healthy, much stronger and healthier than many younger. And then the third thing is, we fear something that will befall us in the future that is not possible, is not probable, it's absolutely definite. And one of those things is, or the thing is, that we fear about this is death. There's no escape. And it's interesting to note that that is the thing we fear most, and that is definite. Subhanallah. And so says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to his Habib, his most beloved Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the message extends to us. Wa'bud rabbaka. Continue to worship your Lord hatta, until ya'tiyaka, comes to you. Until what comes to you? And then Allah uses a word, until al-yaqeen comes to you. And this is so beautiful in the Quran, how in certain places Allah uses a specific word as a synonym for the actual word to bring out and to highlight that essential meaning that Allah wants to convey. And Allah uses the word al-yaqeen. Al-yaqeen means what? Al-yaqeen means the certainty, that which is absolutely certain. But what is Allah referring to? Allah is using it as a synonym for death. Subhanallah. Also, Allah is reminding us of the certainty of death, because sometimes we behave in this world as if we don't know, or as if we've forgotten. Subhanallah. We are all familiar with the saying, do not count your chickens before they are hatched. And we understand, it makes perfect sense. Just like a mother when she's pregnant, we have no guarantee that this baby will ever see the light of day. We have no guarantee that this baby growing in the womb of the mother will ever live a moment in this world. But the moment that baby is born into this world and there's life, then there's a guarantee that after that life, there will be death. Subhanallah. And so the opposite of that saying, don't count your chickens before they are hatched, could be this particular words of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Says Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wa'udda nafsaka, count yourselves ma'al mawta, amongst the dead. Because that is certain. You can count yourself as someone who is already dead, because that is a certainty. It's an absolute. So we fear death, but how can we reduce? Is there a way to reduce our fear for death? Many people, they deal with this by not thinking about it, by putting it out of their minds as if it's not going to happen, to their detriment. What is it that causes us to fear death? A part of it is the unknown. الناس أعداء لما جهلوا. Man is an enemy to what he doesn't know. But also as believers who've been informed about what is going to transpire after death, this becomes also the part of the fear. And that is, how will we fare in the various events and stages after death? At the moment of death itself, then in the grave, then the resurrection, and then the handing of the books and the scales, and meeting Allah, and then eventually Jannah or Jahannam. How will we fare? That is also a big cause of our fear as believers. And so too the Bani Israel, the Jews, they also believe in the year after. They also believe in Jannah. In fact, not only do they believe in Jannah, but their belief about Jannah is that it's for them only. If you are a Jew, you hit the jackpot, you will go to Jannah because you are from the chosen nation. If you are not, then that's your bad luck. You will never ever see Jannah. This is the aqidah. This is their belief. And so Allah calls them out on that belief. And Allah says in Surah Al-Baqarah, verse number 94 and 95, قل say to them, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, إن كانت لكم الدار الآخرة, if for you is the abode of the year after, referring to Jannah, عند الله, by Allah, خالصة, only, solely, exclusively, من دون الناس, with the exclusion of all others, فتمنه الموت, then you should wish for death. Because your claim is that you are the chosen nation, and you alone will go to Jannah. What stands in between you and Jannah? It is death. So you should actually be wishing for death. Just like the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, subhanallah, when they came to learn about Jannah and about how becoming a shaheed will earn them immediate entrance into Jannah, they loved martyrdom in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One hadith in particular, where one sahabi asked the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if I were to be killed here in this battle, where would I be? And the Prophet responded with one word, Jannah, you'll be in Jannah. And so he immediately threw himself in the thick of the battle and fought courageously until he was martyred. Subhanallah. So this is, if you truly believe in Jannah and truly believe in the words of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But yeah, back to the Yahud. So Allah says, فَتَمَنَّهُ الْمَوْتِ. So you should wish for death. إِن كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ. If you are truthful regarding your claim. But then Allah again in the next verse tells us what their response will be. And Allah says, وَلَيَّتَمَنَّوْهُ أَبَدًا. Allah says it very emphatically. They will never ever ever wish for death. But why? Why if Jannah is theirs? And the answer Allah gives immediately, and Allah says, بِمَا قَدَّمَتْ أَيْدِيهِمْ. It is because of what their hands have sent forth, meaning because of the sins that they have committed. This is the cause for fear of death. Depending on what you have in your book of deeds, do you have an abundance of sin and your good deeds are lacking? Or do you have an abundance of good deeds and your sins are at a minimum? That will be the cause of the fluctuation of your fear for death. Subhanallah. The more good we have, the more ibadah we have in our books, in our favor, on our name, the less sins we have, that will surely reduce the fear for death, and vice versa. Subhanallah. Because we have something to hope in. We have something to hope for now. We are hopeful that what we've done, because we have done good deeds, that that will be accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But if not, if we had no good deeds or very few good deeds in our name, then what is there to hope for, subhanallah? And that will be a cause of fear. Wallahu alimun. And Allah is alimun. Allah is infinitely knowledgeable. Bil-zalimeen. With regards to the wrongdoers. Allah, save us from being from the wrongdoers. Ya Rabbal Alameen. The topic of death is a topic that we generally don't like to speak about. However, it is in fact a topic that Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells us that we should be speaking about it so much. أَكْثِرُوا ذِكْرَ هَذِي مِنْ لَذَّاتِ. And why is it so important that we speak about death, that we mention death, that we think of death so often? Because the very way that we are to structure our life, our lives, the very way we're supposed to structure and then live our lives has to revolve around this reality. And this we learn from the words of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam when he speaks to Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala an, who says, قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم, the messenger of Allah said to him, أخذ رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم بمنكبي, says Abdullah ibn Umar, that the messenger of Allah put his hand on his shoulder, فقال, and then said to him, كن في الدنيا كأنك غريب, كأنك غريب, be in this world as if you are a stranger. كن في الدنيا means live your life in this world as if you are a stranger. أو عابر سبيل, or a wayfarer, a passerby, a traveler. Subhanallah. So what does this mean? Think of how a traveler is when he's on journey. He comes to a particular place and is maybe going to rest there or reside there for just a few days and then move along again very shortly. So he doesn't make himself too comfortable. He only makes arrangements that is in accordance with the duration of stay. And he knows very soon he is ready to leave. That is the way of a traveler. In the same way, we should know that our departure is very soon. And we should be ready for that departure. And not anchor ourselves in this world in such a way that it seems like we're going to be here forever. We are travelers. Very soon the departure is coming. Are we ready? Are our bags packed? Is the question. وَكَانَ ابْنُ عُمَرٍ. And Ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu would then say after that, he would have a saying, and it would be, إِذَا أَمْسَيْتَ, when you make the evening, when you retire at night, فَلَا تَنْتَظِرُ الصَّبَاحِ, then do not expect to see the morning. Tell yourself that it may be that Allah's decree is that my ruh will be pulled during the course of the night. Imagine how we will retire for the night. وَإِذَا أَصْبَحْتَ, and when you wake up in the morning again, فَلَا تَنْتَظِرُ الْمَسَاءَ, then do not wait for the evening, do not expect to see the evening. Tell yourself that it may be that today it is Allah's decree that I will leave this world. Imagine the actions of that day. وَخُذْ مِنْ صِحَّتِكْ لِمَرَضِكْ, and use your health, use your strength and vitality to do good and become punctual on good things, on good deeds. لِمَرَضِكْ, less illness befalls you, so that if it so happens that an illness befalls you, whether it's temporary or permanent, then by virtue of you having done good deeds and you were regular on good deeds while you could do it, and now in your sick days you can no longer do it, you earn the exact same reward as if you are still doing it. Subhanallah. وَمِنْ حَيَاتِكْ لِمَوْتِكْ, and for in your life that you've been given, do in that life that is going to be of benefit to you when death eventually comes and after death. These were the words of Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala an. Planning for the future is something that we heard as we were growing up. Our teachers, our parents drilled this into us, that we have to plan for the future. That is why we go to school. That is why after school we matriculate, we then go to tertiary institutions, because we're planning for the future. to secure a good and safe future. However, were we taught that there are two futures. Future number one, from now up until death. Every moment from here on onwards is the future until we eventually die. And future number two, from death until eternity. What can be said regarding future number one? That it is short and uncertain. No matter how many years you are given, even if Allah gives you 100 years, it is still short in comparison to eternity. And it is uncertain because we don't even know whether we'll see the end of this day. We don't even know if we'll see tomorrow, let alone a year, let alone 10 years. So it is so uncertain. What can be said about future number two? That it is absolutely certain and it is forever. Subhanallah. So which one of the two futures would you say requires more of our attention, requires more of our effort? Which one you should be preparing for mostly? And the answer is a no-brainer. It is future number two. But which one of the two futures are we actually giving more attention to, actually putting in more effort for? And for the most part, we know that we are guilty of that. And says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Al-Malu, Surah Al-Kahf, verse number 46, Al-Malu wal-Banuna, wealth, worldly possessions, material possessions, wal-Banuna, and children, Zinatul Hayatul Dunya, they are the adornments of this worldly life. What Allah is implicitly saying, that they are temporary. These things, your wealth and your children, they are temporary. And the next statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explains that والباقيات, and Allah uses a word والباقيات. And again we see how beautifully Allah uses certain words as synonyms for other words. What's the meaning of الباقيات? It means something that will last and remain. And what is Allah intending with that word in this verse? Allah is intending to mean deeds. Why? Because deeds are the only things that will make the journey with you into the next life, into the next world. Whereas your wealth and your children, they will stay behind. They cannot make the journey with you in the to the year after. So Allah says, وَالْبَاقِيَاتُ الصَّالِحَاتُ, righteous good deeds that will last. Khayrun is far better than what? Than any material possession, far better than the children that you have in this dunya. عند ربك, by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, thawaban, as a means to earn reward, wa khayrun amala, and as a means to have hope for success in the year after. If you have good deeds in your name, and then you have something to hope in by Allah, you now can be hopeful of Allah's mercy and hopeful of eventually entering into Jannah. But let's assume you have nothing. It's just like someone who hands in an empty answer sheet after writing an exam. No, nothing written on that sheet. Can that person ever hope to pass? Absolutely not. So in the same way, if you have no deeds or little deeds, how can you ever hope for Allah's mercy? Says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Qasas, verse number 60, وَمَا أُوتِيتُم مِّن شَيْءٍ, and whatever you've been given, مِّن شَيْءٍ, of anything in this world, فَمَتَاعُ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا, it is the provisions of this worldly life, وَزِينَتُهَا, and its adornment. And again Allah is implicitly saying two things about it. Number one, it's inferior because it's of this world. And number two, it is short-lived. It will definitely come to an end very soon. And that we learn from the continuation of the verse, وَمَا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ, but what is by Allah, خَيْرٌ, is far better, is superior, وَأَبَقَى, and it is everlasting. And then Allah ends the verse by saying, أَفَلَا تَعْقِلُونَ, don't you understand this? Allah ends the verse like this because the way we live our lives on this dunya seems like we don't understand. So much effort is put into this world compared to the effort put into the year after. So Allah has to ask us, don't you understand? Thinking of death, as is mentioned by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, must be a regular occurrence. In fact, every day, according to the saying of Abdullah ibn Umar. But why? Why? What is the desired outcome of that? And the answer is, it should produce three things within us. Just consider the example. If you visited your physician because you were not feeling too well, and the physician diagnoses you with a rare terminal illness, and according to statistics, the stage at which the illness is within you gives you 3 months left on this dunya. Subhanallah. Think about what is happening in your mind and heart after receiving that news. Three things, as a believer, three things should happen in particular. And number one, immediately you're going to look at your current situation, your life and your past, and you're going to resort immediately to sincere repentance. Repentance meaning that whatever sin you have committed and whatever sin you are still committing, you are going to stop immediately. Number two, you're going to regret having ever done that sin. Sincerely regret. And you're going to be determined with the rest of the days you have left, you're never ever going to commit that sin again. And if it means that that sin involved harming someone else, then you're going to find a way to make amends with that person. Number two, the second thing that happens to you after receiving such news is what? Devaluation of material possessions. Immediately, the material things of this world will now, its value will plummet right down to the ground. Subhanallah. You will have no interest in acquiring any more material possessions. In fact, you will be wanting to give away your material possessions as a means of earning a reward from having given sadaqah. And number three, the value of ibadah, acts of worship, will now skyrocket. It will peak, subhanallah. Because now you will realize the value of a'malu saliha, of good deeds. Because now you can see the reality of it being able to go with you, subhanallah. And really, is this not how we should be thinking and feeling every single day? And that is why the thought of death every single day, subhanallah. Have you ever asked yourself the question, where you would like to die? Doing what? Or where you would not like to die? Not doing, subhanallah. And the answer obviously is, you'd like to die in a good place. You'd like to die doing something good. You would not like to die in a bad place. You would not like to die whilst you are committing a sin, doing something bad. So obviously, in order to achieve that, you need to do what you can do. And Allah's decree is Allah's decree. Allah decides ultimately. But from our side, we should be stacking the odds in our favor. Frequent good places, make that your habit. Be doing good deeds all the time, make that your habit. And then the chances are greater that you'll die in that condition, in that location, in that situation. As opposed to when you are in a bad place, remind yourself that I don't want to die over here. And you'll then remove yourself from that place. If you're busy doing something which is haram, remind yourself, I do not want to die while doing this, and I know death can come to me at any time. So then that will be a cause, inshallah, of making you refrain and stopping, inshallah. So stack the odds in your favor, inshallah. And then, in conclusion, inshallah, we can all agree that, generally speaking, we all want long life. We can all agree that in this long life, we want an abundance of wealth. That is more or less general amongst all of us. But let us quickly deal with long life and abundance of wealth to rectify a misunderstanding. And the misunderstanding is that a long life isn't as important as a life filled with barakah. Sometimes you can have many years. Allah gives you a long life with many years. But what you've really done in those years is very little. As opposed to may perhaps having fewer years, but in those few years there's so much barakah that you've accomplished and achieved so much. Take the example of Imam Nawawi rahimahullah, died at the age of 45, but what he had accomplished in those short years, subhanallah, all the books he authored, subhanallah, and the qabool, the acceptance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the fact that we still mention his name, Riyadh al-Salihin, is a name on the tongue of most Muslims, if not all Muslims. And we can go on. The likes of Imam Shafi'i rahimahullah, died at the age of 50, but look what he had accomplished in his lifetime. Allahu Akbar. Because Allah placed barakah in those years. So that's the important thing. And the same thing goes for wealth. What is important about wealth is not so much the amount, because sometimes you can have so much wealth, but you still have a miserable life. Still you're worried about the next million. Still you are anxious about acquiring more wealth, and it's a worry for you. Whereas if Allah places barakah in whatever He has decreed for you, that will definitely make you content and happy, inshallah. The next and the third thing we can all agree on is that when we die, which we agree that we will all eventually die, there's no doubt, even the atheist, the one who does not believe in the hereafter, agrees and accepts the fact that we are going to die. So when we do die, what do we want? We want a good death. Our death must be a good death, a death with the kalima la ilaha illallah on our lips. Those must be the last words that we utter. So, how do we achieve this? Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam actually mentions all these three things in one particular hadith. And he says, man sarrahu, whomsoever it pleases him, an yumadda lahu fi umrihi, that he be given an extension in his life. Which means that the years Allah has decreed for him, Allah puts barakah in those years. وَيُوَسَّعَ لَهُ فِي رِزْقِهِ, and that he is given vastness in his rizq. And again, the same meaning applies, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in whatever he has decreed will be our sustenance, Allah puts barakah in that sustenance, inshallah. وَيُدْفَعَ أَنُ مَيْتَةُ السُّوءِ, and that a bad death be kept away from him, meaning his death, when it eventually comes, will be a good death, inshallah. If he wants these three things, then this is what he must do. And it all comes down again to the very thing that we were discussing in our last Jumu'ah. فَلْيَتَّقِ اللَّهَ, then he or she must have taqwa of Allah, must have consciousness of Allah. Allah must be top of mind, the driving force behind devotion to Allah, obedience to Allah, and refraining from sin. And then the Prophet of Allah mentions something after that. Remember, taqwa is all-encompassing. With taqwa, we mean that you are driven to all good deeds. You are driven to refrain from all bad deeds. But then the Prophet of Allah mentions something specific after that. And this is called dhikrul khas ba'd al-am, to mention something specifically after it has been mentioned in a general way, to show its importance. So here, this particular thing is important with regards to achieving the three things we are speaking about here: long life, abundance in wealth, and a good death. Barakah in your life, barakah in your wealth, and a good death. And that is, wal yasil rahimahu, he or she, this person, must ensure that they are joining family ties. That is so important in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The joining and the strengthening of family ties, subhanallah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us barakah in the years He's decreed for us. May Allah give us barakah in the sustenance that He has decreed for us. And when our final hour comes, when we eventually have to leave this world, and the angel of death comes, may he come with the angels of mercy. And may that experience be a pleasurable, good experience, with kalima la ilaha illallah being our last words, inshallah. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen.